I wonder this morning, if I was to ask the general population what they think a priest is or does, I wonder what their response would be. Perhaps they might say, someone who works in a church. Someone who stands at the front of a church and takes a service, maybe. Perhaps a priest is someone... priest is someone who talks to God. Perhaps they think a priest is someone who wears black clothes and a funny white collar. Perhaps they think a priest is someone who goes around visiting old ladies. Perhaps they think a priest is someone who drinks copious amounts of tea and eats cucumber sandwiches with all the crusts cut off. Perhaps they think a priest is someone who isn't really in touch with the modern world. Perhaps they think a priest is someone who goes around doing good and telling others to do good as well. Perhaps they think a priest is someone who organizes jumble sales and talks about leaky roofs in churches. Now, I think a lot of these ideas come through in the population through the media and the portrayal of priests in television and film, where people who are priests are often treated generally as a bit weak and a bit wet. They probably have very funny accents too, and say hello, and things like that, certainly in the ones I was thinking of as I was preparing this did. Perhaps they're seen as a bit of a joke, or perhaps, as I've seen in some more recent dramas, they've been completely flipped on their heads, and they've got dark, terrifying secrets that no one in the church knows about. I wonder why that is. I wonder, though, if you were to ask people who go to church the same question, I wonder what they might say, whether they might give you a similar answer or a different one. Perhaps they might say, the priest, he's the leader of the church, someone who gives us the sermons, goes around and visits people, he talks to God, and he might read the Bible. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you a priest? Now you might be looking at me going, you've really lost it since you've moved. But no, those words may take a little time to settle in. I don't work for the church. Of course I don't run a church. I don't stand at the front and give sermons. You wouldn't catch me doing that type of work. Well, if that's your reaction to that question, then I'm glad you're here this morning. Because I'm going to tell you something that may surprise you. Because if you are a Christian by faith, believing in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sin, having placed your faith in him, walking in his way, and owning him as Lord, you are a priest. And I'm going to prove it to you. Let's have a look at this passage of scripture together, one I was given to have a little look at this morning. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, starting to read a little bit at verse 4. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, that's Jesus Christ, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever builds on him will not be put to shame. So the honor for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You don't have to go far in your researchings and thinkings about the priesthood of believers before you are directed to some of the great thinkers of the Reformation, particularly Calvin and Luther. Now, I don't know how much you know about the Reformation. Don't worry, I'm not going to go into all the ins and outs of it this morning. But part of the motivation behind the Reformation was about this whole notion of there not being a separate priesthood in the New Testament which has special privileges before God that ordinary people don't have. Because as Peter writes to the Christians, you are a priesthood. And if you are a priesthood, then the individuals within that priesthood must be priests. And the series that you're looking at the moment, Being What You Are, today's title is A Priest at God's Altar. It was passages like the one that we've just read which provided fuel for the change in the Reformation, identifying the believer in Christ as someone with direct access to God without having to go through an earthly priesthood which told people what to do, how to live, and how to be. The church, in inverted commas, had become powerful and wielded control over those who weren't perceived to be in the priesthood. And those on the inside were seen as having special knowledge. They could interpret the Bible, kept ordinary people at arm's length from God. The Reformation was to change that and to bring about a different way of thinking. Another verse in Revelation chapter 1 says this: To him who has loved us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ has made us priests to his God. We're going to think a little bit about that this morning. Being what you are, a priest at God's altar. If you're here this morning thinking that this isn't for you because you're not good enough or you don't feel worthy of that sort of title, then you're absolutely right. You are not good enough. But it is a service that we have been brought into by the work of Christ on the cross, just like salvation. In some of my researches and readings, came across one writer who said, to be a Christian is to be a priest. There is no distinction. If you are a Christian, you are a priest because you are part of that royal priesthood. We need to be priests at God's altar because that is where we are expected to be. So, the call of this series is to be what we are. And I want to help us to consider where that means in 2017, in a postmodern society that increasingly thinks that Christianity is irrelevant and the message of the gospel is archaic, yet something in many churches in our country, this is still not being taught and still not being understood. And there is still being seen a division between priests and people. Now, I've got a 25-minute slot and not a 25-week series. The more you look at the priesthood of the believers and the role of the believer as a priest, the more you could talk about it. And the more I read, the more I found. So I tend to have a little look at some of the duties of the priests in the Old Testament and then think about how it applies to us today as priests at the altar of God. Now, I'm sorry if I don't cover everything, and if you've got a burning point that you think I should have covered and I don't, I'm very sorry. I've been told to finish because we have a communion service afterwards. I will do my best, Alistair, to get through to it. Firstly, about the priests. As I was reading and thinking, it was brought out that the priests serving at the tabernacle and then in the temple were chosen by God and consecrated, which means set apart for God's service. Now, as you read through Exodus, you first of all find out the sons of Aaron were selected as priests, and then the tribe of Levi was chosen by God to serve as priests and take part in the duties of the tabernacle, the place where God met with man before an established temple was set up. And you can read more about that in Numbers chapter 3. And as you read it, you see God said the Levites were his. He said, bring the Levites, set apart the Levites for me. They were to guard the tent and the presence of God. They were to look after the furnishings in the tabernacle, take care of Aaron and his sons as they ministered. And then from the Levites, you can read in Numbers chapter 4 of the sons of Kohath, who were selected to do work in the tent of meeting. And other sons of Levi as well had other duties that were going on. This was their job. This was their purpose. And they were chosen by God and set aside by God for this purpose. But it was only the sons of Aaron and their descendants who would actually serve as the priests. They were chosen by God. They were set apart for the work as priests to serve before him. They didn't get involved in other things. The service as priests was what they did. They didn't get involved with other issues outside of that service. They were completely dedicated to God. And here for us in 2017, as a priest at God's altar, comes the first challenge. As well as saying in Peter that we were a royal priesthood, it said a chosen race. We are chosen. We have been chosen by God. And because of that choosing, because of that calling, just like the priests, we should be dedicated to God's service. It was said that they were consecrated to God's service, set apart for that task. We too need to be consecrated. We are called to set ourselves apart for the work of God, to be pure in that work. What are we involved in that isn't part of God's purpose for us? What sin takes hold of us? What activities, perhaps, do we get involved in that may take the place of the priority of God in our life? Do we deprioritize some of the work of God and some of the things that we are commanded to do? The priests were consecrated and set apart, and service was for them. We are priests. We are called to be consecrated and set apart and dedicated to God's service. Now, I don't know about you, but I find even now in my short life, I hit the grand old age of 45 this year, I can see the change in thinking in this country relating to Christian things from when I was younger. When I was a child, and I'd say I'd go to church and go to Sunday school, People didn't tend to bat an eyelid. It was all good. Yes, you're going to do that. Now, you go to church. The truths of the Bible are being taken down and watered down. They're being challenged in the courts, in government. Laws are being passed. It is very easy for us to get caught up in that change in the world. James had a stern warning. He said to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. The priests were taken up in dedication to service. We are called for that same consecration and dedication. We need to keep our eyes on God if we're going to be priests serving at his altar and not looking at everything else around about and the change in the world. We need to be built securely on this. We need to be, as Jesus said, the wise man building his house upon the rock. So the priests were dedicated, set apart, consecrated, and so should we be as priests at God's altar. And then from within there, those priests, there would be chosen a high priest. And one of the duties of the high priest was to have access into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement with blood from the sacrifices. This was an auspicious occasion, only taking place once a year. The high priest would go beyond the curtain which separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the tabernacle. And inappropriate access behind that curtain would mean death. This is the place where the glory of God dwelt. And there were specific rituals that the high priest had to go through even before he could enter. This was a picture showing the people how awesome the holy presence of God truly was. Not something to be taken lightly, not something to be taken flippantly or taken for granted. And the picture of the tabernacle and the temple shows that the way into God's presence was barred. For a bit more of an interpretation on that, read Hebrews chapter 9. Yet elsewhere in the book of Hebrews, we read that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And he has, with his own blood, better than the blood of any animal from times past, gone into the actual place of which the earthly tabernacle was just a copy, and gone as a forerunner for us into the presence of God. We read in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, these words: "We have a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." Now, I don't know whether you noticed in some of our songs, we have a priest who is there interceding. We come to him, our priest and apostle. There was a purpose to the songs that we were singing. And he has gone as a forerunner before us. And what's even more amazing, if we read just a couple of chapters before, at the end of Hebrews chapter 4, we read this: "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence," or in some translations, with boldness, "draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We have access into the presence of God, which was barred even to the high priests in the past in all but once a year. As a priest, we have access into the presence of God. When Jesus died, what happened? That thick curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom, signifying that access into God's presence for all was now assured. And Hebrews 9 verse 8 teaches us that while the curtain was still there, the way into the holiest of all was not yet available. But Christ has now opened and made open that way. As priests, we have that free access into the presence of God. But as you read about the access into God's presence in the Old Testament, it makes me squirm a bit. Because I think, in what way do I come into the presence of God? Sometimes a bit familiarly, a bit flippantly, not quite in the right mindset, the right attitude. I have to say, I think in quite a few churches, you can see a lack of reverence coming into the presence of God. The law hasn't been taken away. There isn't a different God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus has fulfilled the law. But God is still an awesome, holy God. And in 2017, even though we have this absolute privilege of access into the presence of God, I think we need to be careful how we enter into that. God's not our big buddy. He's not our big mate. He's still the awesome God of the universe. And yes, he loves us so much. And our spirit cries out, Abba, Father. But I think we still need to think how we come into the presence of God. So we see priests dedicated to the service of God and having direct access into the presence of God. What else had they done? Well, they were responsible for gifts, offerings, and sacrifices. There were sacrifices for sin, there were thanksgiving offerings, grain offerings, offerings for all different kinds of occasions. But it was the priests who made those offerings and presented the gifts. It was the priests who made the offerings to God. And we read together in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, that we are to offer up sacrifices. Not sacrifices as in the past, but we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We can't offer blood for sin. Christ has done that once and for all. So what can we offer in the new covenant? My mind, first of all, went to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Present yourselves as living sacrifices. I think the first sacrifice we offer is ourselves as a living sacrifice, as part of our dedication to God that we were thinking about just a few moments ago. But if you go back into the book of Hebrews again, in Hebrews 13, verses 15 to 17, we're told to offer a sacrifice of praise. We're told to do good and share because God is pleased with such sacrifices. Obedience to those in authority and showing submission. God is pleased with such sacrifices. One person wrote that a spiritual sacrifice means God honoring works done under the direction of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Word of God. So as priests, we're to be dedicated to God, having direct access into his presence and offering up spiritual sacrifices. That's why we started this morning with a call to praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. How is that a sacrifice? You could be somewhere else at the moment, enjoying yourself. I'm not saying that you're not enjoying yourself now. You're probably not, but... But you could be elsewhere doing your own things from your own motivation, but being here and giving this time to God is a sacrifice. You have bought the sacrifice of praise. The priests had the job of representing the people before God. I believe we still have this role to do today, but it's extended. If you read 1 Timothy chapter 2, and starting at verse 1, it says this: "First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." We're to make representation before God for all people, not in terms of spiritual sacrifices, but through prayers, intercessions, supplications. As we come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy that we read about, so we represent others through prayers, lifting others before God. Those who know God and those who don't know God. For we read in that passage that God desires everyone to be saved. So we are still representing people before God. But I think it's wider than that. If you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20, it says we are Christ's ambassadors. That God is making an appeal as if it were through us. Be reconciled to him. So I see it like a capital L with us at the apex. We represent other people to God, but we're also representing God to other people as his ambassadors. We have a dual duty as priests before the altar of God to represent others before God and to represent God to others as we go out. I'm aware of time, and I'm just going to sort of finish with this sort of thought I had as you look at this passage in Peter, chapter 2, verse 5. It says, it said this, let me get back to it so I say it right. "Are like living stones being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God." It says, we are the living stones. It says we are a priesthood. And it says we offer spiritual sacrifices. Have you ever thought you are the temple? You are the priest. And you are the sacrifice. All those spiritual things, the place, the person, the offering, you are all of those. We are together being built up into God's holy temple as living stones built on the cornerstone. We are the priest making spiritual sacrifices, and we're encouraged to lay ourselves up as that sacrifice. The title of the series is Being What You Are, and I'm going to challenge us all this morning to be just that, a priest at the altar of God. And to do so, we've got to make sure we're consecrated and set apart for that service. We've got to make use of this access into the presence of God that we have, that in the past was so barred, but we've got to come in the right way. We've got to bring gifts, offerings, and sacrifices is our spiritual service. And we're there to pray for others and make intercession, but also to be ambassadors and to reach out. How are you doing as a priest this morning?